Welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. Friends, whether you've been here your whole life or this is your first time worshiping with us, we are so glad that you are here. You can learn more about how we are church together in your bulletin. There are announcements and a calendar of events. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask someone around you. There will also be an elder at the communion table following worship to receive any questions.
Good morning,
that
everybody.
You might have. A few announcements this morning as well.
My name is Eric Vale, and I'm a
after
member of the
worship today,
worship
this is not in your bulletin. After worship today, I'm
going to
host a sermon talk back. We're
going
to try to get into a little bit more regular schedule.
There are ways you can learn about
having
our
an opportunity
church,
for you all to share what you heard and any further conversation from worship. So meet in the adult lounge today at 11:15 for that conversation. And then at 12:15, Jamaica participants, you will be orientated.
During the time of offering also.
So this is just for participants and advisors. We'll meet down in fellowship hall at 12:15.
And
a note, today is also the deadline. If we have any runners or walkers who are interested in the grocery run 5K, today is the deadline if you want a free t-shirt. Everybody wants a free t-shirt. So you can sign up online. And a few other announcements about great things happening that you can be a part of. Next Saturday, Friday and Saturday, we have a lot of opportunities to serve and learn. St. Joseph House of Hospitality, there's still sign up for bringing in food, for cooking, but most especially we need some servers next Saturday. So put your name up on the kiosk. Also happening next Saturday, here at GPC, we have a unique opportunity. Crossroads is providing an anti-racism training, 9 a.m. to 4:30. Again, that's here. It's free. There will be lunch. And if you are interested in attending, there is registration information in your bulletin. And there's a sign-up on the kiosk if I have a couple folks who are interested in providing some hospitality.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Beth
right.
Molina.
And a few
and
other announcements
of the summer,
this
I was
morning.
Up here and mentioned that we were embarking on a new fundraiser with the Red Wings.
Good morning.
And the fundraiser was for the 2018 Jamaica Mission Project. We actually completed that fundraiser, and the youth and their families and the advisors all participated, along with members of our congregation. They had an opportunity to work 13 games, and it was where we went in, kind of gave them free labor in a food vending area. And
thank you. One additional announcement. Next Friday, if you're going to come and help prepare some food, you could also give some blood if you would like to different locations in the building, thankfully. But GPC has become a location for the Red Cross blood drives. Blood is needed. So there's more information also on the kiosk about if you'd like to volunteer or if you would like. All right, friends, let us prepare now.
Good morning. October 20th is the next blood drive.
Entire selves.
So please sign up. There's a schedule on the kiosk where you can sign up for appointments. So we'd love for you to sign up and donate some blood. And I'd also like some volunteers, too, so you can help out to register people when they come to donate blood. So please, last time was a success, and I'm hoping this time will be a success, too. And also, if you'd like to volunteer to coordinate this blood drive, I'd love that too. It's very simple. It's a one-and-done type of project, so this would be an ideal opportunity for you. So, thank you.
Anybody else have anything this morning to share? Okay. This morning, our guest preacher is Laura Bachman, who led us in worship back in September. So she enjoyed it so much, or we enjoyed her so much, she decided to come back again. So after worship today, please greet Laura warmly, as we typically and always do whenever we have guests worshiping with us today. You can learn more about Laura in your bulletin. There's a little bit of a bio there, who she is, where she is, and what path she's on currently. So again, welcome, Laura. At this time, would you please join me for a moment of silent prayer for the the victims of the shooting in Las Vegas and give thanks for those who stepped up. And they don't want to be called heroes, but they are, and help those in need. So please pray silently with me. Amen. Now let us worship together as we prepare our minds, our hearts, and our souls to worship our great God together.
What joy we have in God's presence. Praise be to God who has brought us here this day. For Jesus is Lord. Alleluia.
Sing our praises to God, we also come with all of who we are, our joys, our concerns, our shortcomings. Let us join together in the prayer of confession. In your house, we come before you, O God, and we bring with us all our expectations.
Every class,
we demand immediate answers to our whys. We forget that growing means changing, We confess our attention spans are short and we are impatient. Distracted by shiny things, we convince ourselves of your absence and turn to idols of our own making. Forgive us. Continue to remember your covenant of love and justice. God is near. God hears our prayers with compassion and with abundant, steadfast love. We are part of God's family now and always. Rejoice, for the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Children are welcome to come forward. Let's see, where should I sit today? Right here? Good morning, friends. It's so good to see you. So, I was watching the weather this morning, because I often watch the weather to see what it's going to be like outside. And you know what I saw is going to happen this afternoon? Rain and thunderstorms. Can I tell you something about thunderstorms? When I was really, really little, I was so scared of thunderstorms. So scared. I would lay in bed at night especially, and I would hear the thunder and lightning, and I would get so scared. And do you know what I did one time? One time, I thought maybe, just maybe, if I hid underneath my bed, the thunderstorms would go away. They didn't. But you know what did happen? When my mom came in to check on me to make sure I was okay, guess what?
Eternal God.
And she was the one who ended up getting very scared because she
hidden from us by our sins. And whose mercy
sometimes
we forget in the blindness of our hearts.
We make decisions.
Cleanse us from all our offenses.
That aren't
and deliver us from
best.
Proud thoughts and vain
and,
desires.
Oh my goodness.
That with reverent and humble hearts we may draw
chance?
Near to you.
Oh, Mrs. White.
Confessing our faults.
You.
Confiding in your grace. And finding in you our
is
refuge
there
and strength.
That you all get scared
through Jesus
of?
Christ, your
what
Son.
Do you get scared of?
Let us confess our sins before God and one another.
generous and loving God, we honestly confess that in a world where many do not have enough, we have taken more than we need. In a world where many live in fear,
horror movies on the top of my list too. You want to know what I do when I see horror movies?
In a world where many have lost hope,
and then I close them so that I don't have to watch it anymore. So scary movies, scary dogs,
thunderstorms, of your grace. We too often build our communities
in the Bible.
On priorities
there are so
of power,
many
wealth,
different
and
stories
fame.
Where God
forgive
and
us,
God's
merciful God,
tell the
and transform our lives.
Do not be afraid. But I don't think that they tell us that so that all our fears will just magically go away. I think that God tells us not to be afraid so that when we
the Lord
afraid,
is merciful and gracious,
people to
slow to anger and abounding in steadfast
and
love.
Those
the Lord does not deal with us according to our sins or repay us in proportion to our iniquities.
And each other.
God's loving ways are so great and good
that
they astound us.
Mommies,
love sends our Savior.
Some other people who help us
for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord, our sins are forgiven.
Awesome.
By the power of the Holy Spirit, may we come to understand and live in that mercy from everlasting to everlasting.
The candy bucket
thanks
makes you not feel afraid.
And now
you.
I invite the children,
all right, well,
the young and the young at heart,
our fears,
to come and join me for a message.
So here in church is full of people who we can feel comfortable sharing what we are afraid of so that they can help love us through not being afraid. Will you all pray with me? Dear God, sometimes we feel afraid.
Yeah, I'm going to need a little
help
room for our story. You might have to scooch back.
To
I have
keep
to scooch.
Loving
yes.
each other through it.
You have a lip gloss. I bet
Amen.
That's good for chapped lips, isn't it?
Amen. Hey, I have an idea. Do you guys want to stay right here for a minute so we can listen to the youth choir sing too? Okay. So all the green-robed kids, ready?
Right.
Just
I
turn and face this way.
A story.
Blue-robed kids head that way. And wonderful people who don't have any robes on, just stay where you are and let's watch.
Now, our story this morning is about Jesus. And Jesus was finished with his ministry in Galilee, which is in the hill country, just outside Jerusalem, about a day's walk. And he decided that it was time for him to come back to Jerusalem, continue his ministry there. And he came back to the city, and he went right to the temple, because that is the place sometimes he said things that didn't happen. And so he got in a bit of a tussle with them. The first thing he did when he showed up was turn over the tables of the money lenders. He was angry at them because they were taking money.
So you all can head to Sunday school now. A series of special stories called parables. Got it? Okay.
And this is one of the parables that he told them. There was a man who came from the far country, and he built a vineyard. And he made in the vineyard, dug a wine press, and he built a watchtower. And then he went away to his own country, and he left some people there to take care of the vineyard. And when it was time
for
the harvest
reading,
to come,
This landowner
comes
sent
from
some people back
the letter to the church
to
in
the
Philippi.
Harvest. Do you know what they did? They kicked him out.
Therefore, my brothers and
the
sisters,
he sent another
my
set
love
of servants
and long for
to go and collect that harvest.
My
and again,
joy and crown.
Finally, the landowner
Stand
said,
firm
"I'm going to send
in the
my
Lord
son
in this way,
him.
My beloved."
And he sent his son.
I urge.
And they kicked him out of the vineyard.
Yodia, and I urge Syntyche to
make
be of the same mind in the Lord.
And Jesus.
And yes, I also ask you,
the Pharisees,
my loyal companion, help these women, for they have struggled beside me in the work of the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life.
And they said to him, "Well, we
rejoice
that you're telling this
rejoice
story
in the Lord always, and again I
them,
say rejoice.
Don't you remember this passage?
Let your gentleness
the stone
be known
that
to
the builders
everyone.
Rejected.
The Lord
has become
is
the cornerstone.
Do not
this
worry
was the Lord's
about
doing,
anything.
And it is amazing.
But
in
everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God.
The stone
and let the
that
peace
was
of God
was rejected.
Which surpasses all understanding.
Wow.
Will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally,
beloved, that is a story we can wonder about.
Whatever is true, whatever
we don't
is
always
honorable,
have the answers to Jesus
whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is
okay
pleasing,
to
whatever is commendable,
and think about
if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy
so
of praise,
pray
think about these
dear
things.
God.
And keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me.
Our church.
And the God of peace will always
be with help us to use that cornerstone.
Down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of death, I fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord.
Thank you.
second scripture reading. All the way back to the front of the Bible. We turn to the book of Exodus. When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people gathered around Aaron and said to him, "Come, make gods for us. Who shall go before us? As for this Moses, the man who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what's become of him." Said to the people, "Take off your gold rings, the ones that are on your ears of your wives, your sons, your daughters, and bring them to me." So all the people took off the gold rings from their ears and brought them to Aaron. He took the gold from them, formed it into a mold, and cast an image of a calf. And they said, "These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt." When Aaron saw
this,
he built an altar
in
the forest. And Aaron made proclamation
and
said, "Tomorrow shall be a festival to the Lord."
Listen for the word of God.
And they rose up early the next day. They offered burnt offerings, brought sacrifices of well-being.
There was a landowner who planted a vineyard.
And they sat down to eat.
Put a fence around it.
And drink,
dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he leased it to tenants.
The Lord then said to Moses,
"When the harvest
time had come, at once,
he sent his slaves,
your people,
to collect
whom you brought up out of the land of Egypt, have acted perversely.
And beat one,
they've been quick to turn aside from the way that I have commanded them.
Again, he sent others.
They have cast for themselves an image of a calf and have worshipped it and sacrificed to it.
He sent
and said, 'These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt.'"
But when the tenants saw the son, they
Lord said to Moses,
"This is the heir.
I've seen
Come,
this
let us kill him and get his inheritance.
How stiff-necked they are."
So they seized him.
"Now let me alone.
Threw him out
so
of the
that my wrath may
him.
Burn hot against them and I may consume
them." Now when the
them,
owner of the vineyard comes,
"And of you,
what will he do
I will
to
make
those
a
tenants?"
Grace.
They said to him, "He will
but
put
Moses
those rich wretches to a miserable
Lord,
death and lease the vineyard
God,
to other tenants who
said,
will give him the produce of the harvest time."
Lord, why does
Jesus said
your
to them,
wrath
"Have you never read in the scriptures?
Whom
the stone that the builders rejected
the
has become the cornerstone.
With great power,
this
with
was
a mighty
the Lord's
hand.
Doing, and it is amazing.
Why
in
should
our
the
eyes.
Egyptians say that it was with evil intent
Therefore,
that he brought them out to
the
kill them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the
given
earth?
To a people that produces the fruits,
turn from your fierce wrath. Change your
balls on
Do
this
not
stone.
Bring disaster on Jesus. Your people. Remember,
and it will crush anyone on whom
Abraham. Isaac.
When the chief priests
Israel.
And the Pharisees heard
your
his parables,
servants.
They realized that he
how
was
you swore to them by your own self.
They wanted to
saying to them, "I will multiply your descendants like the stars of heaven
as a prophet.
And all this land I have promised, I will give to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever." And the Lord changed his mind about the disaster that he planned to bring on his people.
Last weekend, I had the great joy of participating in the ordination service of my dear friend, Katrina.
So last year...
Now, if you haven't been to an ordination
it was
service,
for clowns.
I can tell you they are filled with celebration.
Do you remember?
All
the reports and the arrests of people
Katrina
disguised
came,
as evil clowns
and friends,
lurking by the side of the road and at the edge of trees and near schools.
She gathered and built her service from all
the parts
of her life.
I remember, because by the time Halloween rolled around, it took a lot of convincing in my house to get the kids out trick-or-treating, because they were afraid of all the creepy clowns and how they were going to get them.
Brought forward the elements,
and it didn't help that there was one hiding with a chainsaw down the street either. Conversation for another day. But creepy clowns aren't a new thing.
Read a poem.
So says Ben Radford, who, about the same time last year, published a book called Bad Clowns.
Throughout the service,
he documented the history of creepy clowns, which, by the way, throughout time have been much more prevalent than the benevolent figure of Happy Meals, birthday parties,
at the end of the service, we actually danced
so, score
out of the
one for Stephen King, well, more like 304 million ones, at the box office this year for the movie, about a bunch of kids fighting a killer clown.
Spirit-filled service.
So, from his research, though, Radford explains that such obsessions
and, what interests me
and waves
so much
of hysteria concerning clowns
is that in this case,
they've happened before.
The congregation Katrina serves,
they actually tend to surface
formerly separate
when there's an underlying social anxiety.
When it became clear they could
there
no
was a similar stretch of clown sightings back in the 1980s.
Now they're
when
reinventing
our country was also going through a time of
without
social
the concrete
upheaval.
Walls and rooms that were
don't
central
remember,
to their
there
identity
was
as a particular people
assassination attempt on the president.
For
unemployment was at unprecedented levels. The stock market had crashed.
On the bricks and the challenge of our worshiping spaces.
So it turns out clown
the body of Christ. We have gone out into the world.
The deeper
from
anxiety gripping
of the buildings whose cornerstones constitute
and it's got me wondering, so what did people focus their anxiety on before there were clowns?
Carry out our mission.
Because clowns have only been around for about a millennium.
Almost always implies a building.
So what was the choice before
what
clowns existed?
When in a time of change,
our scripture text this morning seems to give us a hint in answering this question.
Jesus becomes again
cows.
The soul center around which we must interpret
not creepy ones that lurk on the edge of a pasture and follow you with their big brown eyes. The Israelites focused their anxiety on a less creepy cow, but still completely unrelated to their
fear. Now more than ever, we must examine the cornerstone.
This cow,
on which
more precisely, a sparkly baby cow, must have been a whole lot cuter than a clown.
God
still,
in every person,
the cow
do they
wasn't
the creation God has given us?
Arguably, idolatry was a significant part of the story we just
grasp.
Heard from the book
we must
of Exodus.
Still engage our changing
but friends, it wasn't the
new
whole
ways,
story.
As we seek to organize, speak,
the
worship,
moment
and
the Israelites were brought up
together
out of the land
and
of
in the world, and firmly planted on the cornerstone of our faith in Jesus.
When the Egyptian army was on the horizon and they were there standing at the Red Sea, one of the very first questions out of the mouths of the people to Moses was, because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us here to die?
How in these changing times
don't be afraid.
Do we continue to tend the
Moses
vineyards
tries
God has
to reassure
to our care?
But they grumble. And they worry
the passages
in the desert,
leading up to today's reading, Jesus
still
has
about whether
to
or not they're
going to
die because there's no food, there's no water.
Right away,
and then, when God's presence comes
back,
in the form of thunder
of Jesus,
and lightning,
turning over the tables of the money
Moses
lenders in the temple,
again,
and accusing those present of turning the house of prayer into a den of robbers.
Now fear itself.
Next he curses a fig tree on the road to the temple because it bears no fruit.
At some point in our lives,
finally,
we've
the chief
all
priests and the elders
experienced
question
fear and may or may not have tried to hide under the bed from
Monty
it. But it has a legitimate and vital role in our survival, and without it,
which we read today,
we wouldn't be warned of potential dangers
the context for this
or sufficiently
would have been
motivated
to
address them.
It was a
so when Scripture tells us
for landowners to build
not
a vineyard
to be afraid.
and then return to their own land, leaving tenant farmers to care for the property
that means
and sending servants
we
back
just deny
only during the
or
harvest
ignore
and claim the owner's share of the fruits.
Instead, we are told
but as Jesus' main audience consisted of the chief priests,
because when we allow fear to be what guides and controls our lives, it can lead us.
Prophets in the Hebrew scripture commonly use these images
the world
to refer to God, the landowner,
to interfere with our ability to have healthy relationships.
And Israelite leaders, the tenants.
And it tempts us to live in ways
quite likely,
that are not
these temple leaders would have immediately connected this parable
God
with a very similar passage from Isaiah, in which God condemns the tenants.
The Israelites heard Moses tell them
punishment for their refusal to cultivate the good grapes.
Don't be afraid.
Already at odds
but this
with Jesus,
time,
we can only imagine
he's not
the
there
that
to
must
offer
have begun
them
as
any sort
as
of
Jesus
reassurance.
Begins.
You see, Moses has made
the
steep, rocky climb up the mountain to talk
with
God, and it's been at least a month or more now.
These individual pieces matter.
So now what?
They provide everything the tenant farmer would need to live and work successfully.
Right? Like a significant other or friend who doesn't want to hurt your feelings by telling you they don't want to be in a relationship anymore.
With which to produce the
people have heard
and
nothing
a watchtower,
from
which also
this
as
Moses,
a place to live,
the text say. You know, that guy who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what became of him.
Greatly.
What
and not content
him?
With the bounty already provided to them in this place,
how
where they
are we
going to
survive
live,
out here?
Prosper.
And
they decide
Moses
to keep
gone.
All the fruit of the harvest to themselves.
Does this mean God ghosted
as
on
a
us
landowner
too?
Sends each succeeding group of servants to collect
so when
the
person
upon share of the harvest
does
the
this,
tenants respond violently.
So many things
preventing the landowner from receiving
right?
What they
first you worry
to
like what happened to them. Did Moses fall
finally
off
the
mountain? Did he get a little lost? But then you start to play through every possible scenario in your head.
It is then,
and then
that the tenant farmers kill the son.
And then you start
in an
to
attempt to steal his inheritance once and for all.
You did.
As Jesus
the
goes on to answer his own question about what the landowner will do
stories
to
we tell ourselves,
we can almost
because we
feel
just
the
don't understand
the
what's happening,
shifting
why this is going
seats.
On.
They know what's coming before Jesus even reaches the punchline.
False narratives.
Quoting Psalm 118, no doubt a familiar
reality.
Passage to those most of those present.
And it's
pieces.
Been well documented by
the stone that the builders rejected has become the
today.
Cornerstone.
That the
therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people
America
that produces the
in ways
of the kingdom.
Like no other in our history.
Now we must emphasize here that Jesus is talking to his own community. So often this parable has been interpreted as a blanket condemnation of the Jewish people.
I had the pleasure of talking about this a while ago with a friend of mine who is one of the most widely respected leaders of the ecumenical movement. And he wrote a book called
this
the witness
has
of
allowed
religion
generations of Christians to distance themselves from any criticism.
His name is Michael Kinnaman. And
religion.
One of the narratives that
opening
he lifts up as an example
as
about these false narratives and how they shape our
today,
fear is that how as a nation our fear of crime
no, as we read this story this morning,
out of sync with
we must understand that Jesus.
That FBI reports show that violent crime is down 15% from a decade ago.
This means for us,
and overall crime rate is down 50%
we must ask,
from 25
what
years
are we,
ago.
As leaders doing
Americans
to do,
are far safer than any other time in our history. If you were to
which
ask
cornerstones have we rejected?
And the polls show
and which have we mistakenly embraced in our attempts to both further the kingdom
that
of God
our nation's
and
crime
advance our own agendas of
very
power,
serious
influence, greed,
and two-thirds people think it's getting worse.
These days there is some debate as to whether Jesus
and Michael Kinnaman goes on
to correlate
the fear of
not
being safe.
But
the rise of gun ownership in this country.
Those entrusted with
how Americans have nearly 50%
so
more
way,
guns per capita than any other country in the world. And when asked why they own a gun,
the tenants continue to reject the messenger's consent.
60% of Americans say the covenants
they have agreed to, and the care they have promised to provide to the vineyard.
Despite the fact that violent victimization by strangers,
rejecting this cornerstone, refusing to embrace the proper care and agreed upon sharing of the fruits of their labor,
now, the recent mass shooting in Las Vegas has reignited the intensity of the conversations about gun legislation. And I get me even saying those words out loud up here, stirring folks up. I'm not going to get into it here.
Sometimes
something that we can talk about. So if you would like to have more conversation after worship in the adult lounge, I'd be happy to talk more about that. But the reason that I want to lift this up as an example is because when fear guides and controls our lives,
it leads us to act
in these false narratives
by someone called Alexander Stevens.
And it impacts.
Now, all you history buffs out there probably know who Stevens is, but I confess I had
feelings
to look him up.
Have fear
Alexander
towards
Stevens
strangers in our neighborhoods, to the vitriolic conversations, I can't even call them conversations because we're just yelling at each other about
Stevens
responsible
came from Georgia and spent some four decades in public office.
It's no coincidence.
He was a mainstream,
and in a time when fear is the dominant theme in public life in our nation,
is this cornerstone speech all
also
about?
Living in a time.
Once I started looking, I found the answer everywhere. Stephen's famous speech received its name from an address he gave to a Savannah, Georgia crowd.
Seek out the others who share our particular worries and fears, and then as we get together, we decide to blame it on someone else. They are not like us. They are trying to take something from us. We dismiss, we dehumanize, and we condemn. This Moses, the text says, that president would say, those liberals, these conservatives, there seem to be no limit
based upon this great physical, philosophical,
threatening our cherished sense of security and stability. Nor
standing here today, I am deeply uncomfortable even speaking those words.
We can't eliminate
anyone
here altogether, nor do we want to.
It's important.
But perhaps we as the church, the body of Christ, might be a very important part of shifting the narratives of fear into a healthier
peace.
At the end of his book, Kinnaman gets specific about how the church might do something to challenge these narratives of fear. And he suggests that one of the ways that we can put fear into perspective is that we need to talk about
it. One cannot help but notice, however,
we need to be able to name them honestly and committed to exploring the fears,
for it seems that this supposed truth has wormed its way into our institutions.
And we can do this because the church is a place where through our baptism we have already faced death,
the
greatest
community as a whole.
And we've seen it.
As Dr. King so eloquently reminded us in his letter from the Birmingham jail,
we ought to exist as a gathering place in which
is a threat to justice everywhere.
And have honest expression.
My friends, putting our trust in the wrong cornerstone tears deep cuts in the fabric of God's kingdom.
And so in Bible studies and at youth groups, around table at men's breakfast or women's circles, or wherever we find ourselves gathering together as the church, we can give voice.
This is what Jesus means when he warns.
To our fears.
The one who falls on this stone will be broken into pieces, and it will crush anyone
left by family members or by God. Fears we have about dying and death,
as we work to create,
about not having money to pay
for
food or to care for us as we age.
We must keep the image of the vineyard at the
place where we can talk about what it is in the world today that causes us to take care of.
What does the Holy One charge us to do, to say, to defend?
trust.
What will we hold to be
and
the
that's where we can
of
ask
ministry,
those deeper
of
questions.
Our lives as people of faith.
That hopefully will move us beyond
what
the creepy clowns and sparkly baby cows and other false narratives that turn us inward,
deep into the
that diminish others, and move us away from God.
The good news
together,
is that even as the tenants continue to reject the servants, the landowner,
that the God who brought the Israelites out of the land of Egypt and revealed the depths of God's love for creation in the gift of Jesus Christ, this is the
God
who raised Jesus
in the face of our sin and our errors,
who is
still
at work,
continue to send us what we need to lay the cornerstones of faith in the right places of our lives,
but keeping us from being overwhelmed by that.
Our challenge,
helping us,
and our opportunity is to receive those stones.
May it be so.
To lay them down in the dust and dirt of far from perfect lives.
Amen.
Our job is to persist in calling for the life-giving change that can be built on those stones. To speak truth to power. To dig deep with courage to act and to speak and to lead. Trust that our faith will indeed move mountains if only we produce the fruits of the kingdom of God that God so longs for us to nurture and attain. As I left the church that day, rejoicing in my friend's ordination, I was struck by the variety and creativity of the elements she included in this cornerstone celebration of her ministry. People of all colors danced in the aisles. Believers from many traditions, not just Christian, but also Jewish, Unitarian, atheist, Baha'i, agnostic, and even pagan, all came to embrace and consecrate her work. There were words spoken from centuries ago and new songs played from just this year. Together we formed the people of God, intent on renewing this and receiving this new sister in Christ. Helping to launch her into the work of her particular name. On that wonderful day, we watched Katrina lay a cornerstone filled with a joyful, generous outpouring of the Spirit. One can only encounter such a day in spring. Thanks be to God, may it also be so.
Confidence, then we raise our voices together in prayer, those prayers of joy and prayers of concern. If you'd like to share a prayer aloud this morning, you're welcome to do so. A hand up will let the ushers know to bring the microphone. Let us know who you are and your prayer to be shared today.
Cheryl Fennell. Prayers for a really deep, special aunt who passed away. I just grew up with the love of her and my uncle, and prayers for my Uncle Pete and the immediate family and the large extended family. I just, the love is just amazing. Continue the prayers for your family. As we face fears of disasters and floods and fires, I just want to lift up the church in Houston where Sarah attends and how they face their fears. Their youth building was flooded, and after they gutted it, they chose to put in beds and portable showers for the volunteers coming to Houston to help. And I just think that there are ways we can face the fears in very creative
ways. My friends, do you have some prayer concerns to lift up?
Thanks be to God.
Morning, Eric Vail. Two things. First of all, I ask for prayers for my father, as this week he was diagnosed having Parkinson's disease. So it's a bit of a shock, but he said, onward we go. So he's got the right spirit. And secondly, prayers for healing for Frona. You may have noticed she has her foot
up. Pray for it today.
Her mouth still works really well. but her foot is broken, so prayers for healing and patience.
Prayers for healing for Frona.
I can see a hand back there.
Jenny Smith, I have asking prayers for my youngest brother, who you've prayed for so many times in this church. He has been recently diagnosed with bladder cancer. Among all the other things, please pray for him. His name is Bill. I appreciate that so much.
Continued prayers, Jenny, for your brother Bill. Let us continue our time of prayer.
Good morning. I would like to offer prayers
God, we
of
come into your presence
and,
with praise and
my
thanksgiving for your faithful love.
Who is
your love never
from
fails, not even when we turn from you. When we ignore your invitation or desert you for gods of our own making, even then you do not abandon us, but reach out again and again, inviting us back into relationship once more. As you welcome us, so you welcome our prayers, and we bring them to you with confidence, knowing that you will hear.
Will you pray with me?
God, we pray for the world you have created and the people who share it with us.
We lift up all these things.
We pray for countries caught up in war and violent conflict.
And approach your throne of
praise. For regions of this nation and world recovering from hurricanes and flooding
and
earthquakes.
For the life-giving joy of your creation.
For these and all the other areas in our world where there is
the
gift
of your presence in the person of our brother Jesus. And the power of our Holy Spirit who comes to us on silent wings.
And we pray for our country and for its people.
Show us now
our government leaders. For
help
judicial
us hear
systems,
the cries of your children,
forces and military,
and find the places where we can be
for our cities and towns and rural communities.
Open our eyes to the image of God
for
in
all
every
who reside in this nation, O
that
Lord,
we may work toward the wholeness of all creation.
And we pray for our local community.
Plant in us the cornerstone of
Rochester and gates
that we may build our communities upon it.
We pray for those who are unemployed
today,
those who are hungry, alone, and afraid.
Those
who are in prison
and weary and overwhelmed,
returning to their
communities destroyed by the hurricanes.
For all our neighbors,
those hungry
both known
and
unknown to
our
us, O Lord, hear our prayer.
Those weeping and mourning,
and we pray for this congregation, our brothers and sisters in Christ,
those affected by the shooting,
for those who are ill and those who are anxious about the future,
those fearful
and struggling with their faith, for all your people,
those suffering under slavery or oppression,
hear our prayer.
Those
and pour out your Spirit on us. Fix our hearts and minds on what is true and honorable and right,
Lord,
and give us the joy and
steadfast presence
that comes from knowing and doing your will, keeping us faithful
our
to the
Father,
call we have received in Jesus Christ, our Lord, who has taught us to pray
thy
together, saying,
thy will
Father,
be done,
who art in heaven,
is in heaven,
hallowed be thy
give
name.
Give us this day our
thy
daily
kingdom come,
and forgive us our debts.
Thy will be done,
as we
on earth as it is in heaven.
And lead us
and give us this day our daily bread.
Deliver us from evil.
And forgive us our debts.
For thine is the kingdom,
as we forgive our debtors.
And the glory.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom.
Let us present our tithes
and offerings
to the Lord.
And the glory forever. One of those false narratives that we often convince ourselves of is that we do not have enough and that there will never be enough. But the God who is our God has entrusted us with an abundance in this beautiful creation and entrusted us to care for it. Let us in thanksgiving and praise return a portion of those back to God.
Thank you for all that you have given us in this beautiful world. Accept these gifts we bring before you today. Help us to use them to do your word.
We dedicate
in the world. Amen.
May our dedications be as life-giving as your righteousness. We have called as your own our Christ. We confess to you the word of all that we have.
This one for you.
Friends, we do go surrounded by the presence of Christ in our life and our world. And we go also committed to sharing in these prayers the love, the fear that we share in community.
The grace of the
and
Lord
friends,
Jesus
from
Christ,
our children this
the love
morning,
of God,
let us go out into the world celebrating with them. For mom's birthdays and puppies. For parents
courage,
who are coming home.
Hold on to
for
what
trampolines
is good,
and celebrations.
No one,
for Star Wars movie marathons.
Help the
and
suffering.
Beautiful.
Honor
sin.
All people.
And
love
let us also
and serve
together
the Lord.
Rejoicing
in
the
power
theirs,
of the Holy Spirit.
And that are ours.
And the people lost.
Fears that we won't be safe. Weather of losing those whom we love. Friends, let us be a safe place to share in those fears because we are confident in the love that God has for this entire creation. We are confident in the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives again, the power of the Holy Spirit that it takes to get up each and every day and do it again. Alleluia. Amen.
Good.
Yeah?
Thanks, Ed.
Are you tired now?
Yeah, we were just there last weekend.
Okay.
And,